today we are going to be talking about a comic called Metaphorical Her, and we have the creative team on with us. We have James Maddox is returning.
Hi, how's it going?
And David Stoll.
Hi, guys.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
it's always back. Good to be back on with you.
I appreciate that.
How have things been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Really good, actually. We've, you know, since launched Metaphorical, and that's going fantastic. Some other things have been going on. I've been writing up a storm. It's been a lot of fun.
Which is always good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, we talked at New York Comic Con, and I know you had mentioned this was this book was coming up at that point.
Yeah.
Which I guess it was like a month out, looking at the release date.
Yeah. We launched on November 10th, and as of right now, I believe we're on episode 7. It might be a little bit.
No,
might be 8 by the time this comes out.
It's out on Saturday.
Okay, yeah. So we are recording on Thursday night, for anyone wondering, and it's December 13th. So right. Episode 7 looks like it went up on December 8th.
Yep.
Yes.
So how often do you guys publish?
We're doing one a week.
Okay, that's what I thought. Some of the dates, like the first three, look like they all publish on the same day.
Yeah, for sure. We needed to publish the first three episodes as like a teaser for the entire story. And episode 3 was really a good story stopping point for us to kind of hook people in.
Okay, that makes sense. And then it's on Webtoon.
Yes.
Correct.
Which I'm not super familiar with.
So Webtoon, you can view it. I think it's better if you view it on your phone, but you can also view it in your browser. But essentially, it's like vertically scrolling format, free comics. They have just so many different types of comics. So no matter what you're into, they've got something that feeds into that genre. But it's been a lot of fun to work with them because they're giving us new formats and they're providing, you know, a built-in audience that really has shown that they dig what we do. So it's been kind of fun to kind of interact with a different, you know, set of readers that we weren't reaching beforehand.
Yeah, for sure. Webpin is really awesome for just like the casual comic reader. Like James said, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comics out there. So anything that you really like reading, you're going to find something on that site. And again, it's all free.
Yeah, which, I mean, you can't beat free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was scrolling around.
It doesn't take up a lot of, you know, bookshelf space. You've got it all at your fingertips.
That is very true. Yeah, I was kind of like poking around just what all was on there. Because I know them, like I know the name from like all the Repop conventions. That's what all mm-hmm. of their lanyards
right.
are advertising on. But I'd never really spent much time on it until you actually saw Metaphorical Her.
Right.
And as I was like reading through that, I'm just like, well, what else is on here? And was sort of clicking around.
We're the gateway comic.
Yeah, there you go.
Got you now.
But yeah,
so like the creator of Deadpool has a series on there called Outrage. Warren Ellis has a new series on there. It's, I mean, they've got a lot of really top talent, but they've also got like Let's Play is fantastic. Unordinary is again a really good comic that is from, you know, a more homegrown audience than you would expect most of the big publishers that are doing print, you know?
Yeah, and it looks like there's just there's literally something for everybody.
yeah, absolutely.
And
again, it's like, I think I was talking to their PR, and she says, as of episode 7, we had like 30,000 subscribers hit Metaphorical, and those are numbers that I could never reach doing print.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm on the page for Metaphorical Horror right now, and you guys have an 8.57 rating. Which
yeah.
I'm assuming it's out of 10. I hope it's out of 10.
I hope it's
out of 10. Yeah, we hope it's out of 10, too.
Out of 100, and we're doing very poorly.
Yeah. So, I mean, 8.5 out of 10, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that the way that the story is kind of presented, I think it might have confused some readers, and that may have put us down in the ranking as far as the thing goes. But, you know, the people who are commenting have been super, super favorable for us. So it's been really cool.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, the story's not like super for up everybody's alley to begin with. But I think, like I was describing it to a friend earlier on as more of a sitcom kind of situation where, like, once you get to know our characters and walk, you know, in their shoes and figure out their daily lives, that the rest of the story is going to be really hard hitting. So I think that all of our current readers and all of our possibly new readers are really going to enjoy the ride.
So why don't we transition then into what is Metaphorical Her, other than a comic, which we've established.
So Metaphorical Her is about this kind of, I want to call her an asshole. She's a total asshole.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, Lainey is an asshole poet, but she's really, really good. So she went and pissed somebody off that's basically the gatekeeper of, you know, Poetry Mountain in her city. And he blacklists her from performing or reading anywhere in the city. So she gets super drunk one night, and her brother is, you know, kind of in a band. She goes to a venue, gets drunk, gets up on stage when nobody's looking, and recites on her poetry, and it blows everybody away. So you have this really kind of punk rock story of a person, a fish out of water, that's going and just performing where she can and finding an audience in the most unlikely places, in like a dive bar. And, you know, it's like, it's a story of ambition, of her reaching the top of, you know, the pinnacle of her form in a most unconventional way.
Yeah, and I think that more than that, because I know we've gotten a couple of comments about, you know, oh, well, why should we root for Lainey if all she is an asshole? But I think that a lot of the heart of the story is about following that ambition, but also figuring out how to do that without being a selfish asshole, right?
Lainey right now is a super flawed character.
Right. Yeah, and, sure. Like, I hesitate to use the word anti-hero, right? But right. Essentially, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, but she finds her way, and I think that she finds her way, like, through the use of her friends and family, and all the struggles that all of our other characters go through are similar in nature, where they've got these huge ambitions, and the way that they get through them is with, like, the force of their community.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, as somebody with those story arcs, where you do have a character that's not entirely likable, but as you proceed into the story, you kind of find your reason to like them, are some of the stories that you enjoy reading.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's going to be really compelling. And that, I mean, big hat tip to James's writing. Like, there are moments coming up where you really need Lainey to be a great person, and she either is or isn't. And, you know, I know that all of our readers are going to react to that in the way that we really want them to. I think I'm really excited for people to see the rest of this.
Yeah, so I read the first, I guess you're calling them episodes.
Yep.
Is that like a webtoon doing it? Like,
I don't know. It's, I mean, it's definitely episodic in the sense that we're coming out, you know, weekly. You'll see the use of chapters in webtoon, but for some reason, I've stuck to the idea of calling it episodes. So
okay,
yeah, I think it's webtoon terminology.
Yeah.
So I read through the first episode so far. I wanted to through all of it, but it has been one of those weeks.
Sure.
So. Throughout like that the first episode anyway, there's a lot of those kind of, I guess, remind me of like a 90s sitcom where like your lead character is imagining something happening that's not happening for anybody else.
Like, yes, those would be the metaphor.
Where Lainey like blows her head away.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The metaphor.
Yeah, visual metaphors are, well, it's making use of visual metaphor was kind of my whole gateway into telling a slice of life story, because I'm known for doing horror and sci-fi and a lot of things that are off the beaten path. But I'd never really tackled the slice of life story. And I guess I just had to make it both visually appealing and story-wise, like, interesting for me in terms of like telling the story. Because I don't want a bunch of talking heads on the page for an entire story. It's just, it doesn't call out to me to write that. I don't think it would be a valuable use of Dave's time and talents to just draw talking heads all the time.
I was actually going to say, you got to give the artist something.
Yeah, a lot of those panels would have been copy-pasted.
Yeah, and like, I absolutely want it to be just this visual powerhouse of a story, because I know what our entire creative team can deliver. I've seen it, and I love it. So, you know, hence the visual metaphors come into play, and we get to see something that is exciting.
So was that like was that something that you had intended from like the get-go with like just the concept of the story, or did it kind of happen as you were writing?
Yeah, no, I intended for it, because like the way that I pitched it to, Becca, my friend at Webtoon, I was like, everybody gets to use metaphors. Poetry, prose, like any form of storytelling gets to use metaphors like they're, you know, candy at Halloween. But comics, you know, not so much, because you don't want to confuse the reader all the time. Well, what if we just said fuck that and let's confuse the reader?
And, straight for confusing.
Yeah. So, you know, I came up with the idea of career suicide. And just from that moment of, you know, that visual was so striking and so like invigorating for me in terms of scripting, that now every episode that I start, I know that there's going to be, you know, a select amount of visual metaphors per episode. The scary thing is coming up with those and not running out of, or, you know, overlapping those metaphors again and again and again. So that's both the scary thing and the really fun thing, because you get to do both. And so far, I think I've been able to like pull it off. So, you know, here's hoping.
Yeah. And Dave, how have they been for you? Like just to kind of bring them to life?
No, it's been really fun, actually. I mean, they've done what James wanted them to do, and they've instilled life into a lot of these scenes, because a lot of these scenes are kind of normal everyday scenes, right? Like a guy getting his heart broken in an apartment building, and then and then you add our metaphors to it, and he rips out his own heart and she throws it down the stairs, and suddenly that's an awesome scene. There are some just like mind-blowing things that we've managed to do, and every once in a while when James is like stuck on an episode, we'll talk over it, and I know that there's an episode coming up where like it completely changed, it kind of won 180, because we sat there and talked about it, and you know, I was just like, oh, they're doing this, and then suddenly like that's the metaphor that we were using. So it makes it so much fun.
So it sounds like you guys are collaborating pretty heavily on everything.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Every story that I do in, you know, comics is a collaboration, because essentially that's, you know, that's the name of the game. But, you know, it's especially here, like, I love getting ideas from editorial. I love getting ideas from Dave. There have been a lot of really aha moments, you know, where things just piece together because I'm talking it out and able to like confer with my peoples. And, you know, everybody's invested in the project, which I obviously love. But like Justin Birch, the letterer, was, you know, doing like straightforward balloons. And then one day he's like, hey, Lainey gets drunk, right? What if we did like this? And he makes a drunk balloon for her. And all of a sudden it's like another aspect of visualization that we can, you know, make in like pop out in this comic. And then like when we were working with Stella doing the colors, like we went back and forth with the correct approach, and Dave had like this really, you know, good way of collaborating in that, you know, approach to the comic. So it's, everybody's putting their all in, and they're doing really good work. So I can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, and I can see the colors and sort of the way the word balloons are depicted really do it changes the way you would interpret things. Like just that initial, well, it's not the first page, but early on the career suicide scene. That's pretty gory.
Right.
And I think if that had just been like black and white pencil, like it might have given the book like a very different feel.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of got that like rainbow colors kind of like splattering out of it, it's not that violent.
Right.
That was
Dave's call.
That was your call, because the first time I colored that, it was just gore. It was all just brain matter. and then James came back and was like, hey, what if we didn't like scare everybody on panel two? And made that rainbow instead, so I made that happen.
Yeah, because I mean, like those first few pages, like had those colors worked out differently, this could be a totally different story.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Just between the drunk, like, insulting, and then like the gun getting pulled out, it's like, where is this gun?
Which means we did our job right. I think that was what we were aiming at for that scene, was to get everybody like really tense and say, oh, what kind of story is this? And then suddenly there's rainbows coming out of her head.
Yeah,
and it definitely threw me off at first, because like I had read the like the little synopsis tagline where like it goes into there saying that she ends up fighting against white collar criminals. So I'm I'm getting here. I'm like, all right, she's telling some guy he's talentless, and now she's pulling a gun. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and I think we went like a little. I don't think that I did it consciously, being like, yeah, we're going to shock everyone. Oh, I mean, for the first one, we absolutely did. But like, we went gory as far as like, you know, blowing out the brains and then the dude ripping his heart out of his chest and throwing it down a stairwell. With those two in particular, I don't know. Like, I definitely want something that would punch, and that was probably just the thing that was available and that I thought would impact the audience the most. But like later on, it gets even more creative and more kind of like out there. So you'll hopefully be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, those first two metaphors. Those first two metaphors are definitely like the most punchy that we have. And moving on, like there's not as much gore, and it's more like oh, I know that feeling, and there it is in visual form.
Right.
I think those first two kind of help from like a reader perspective, not knowing what's going on, to kind of like cement like, oh, okay, like now the title makes a little bit more
sense. Yeah, they kind of kick you out of it. Like, she didn't really blow her head off, right? And oh no, okay, this is the game we're playing now. Nothing's real.
Yeah, like you see that one, and then you see the heart one. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, this is just, it's kind of all in their head.
Yeah, which is,
these are the metaphors.
Yep, which is really handy. I think that for that first episode, we had at least one or two people who were like, so does she have like regenerative powers or something like that? Like, what's the deal here? Is she a mutant? And I think we still have people on like episode 7 that are like, I still don't get it, but here I am. We're still like reading it. The comics. So.
Have you guys stumbled upon any like metaphors that you kind of surprised yourself with? You don't have to spoil them, but
every single episode. Like, every single episode, again, I worry that I'm not going to be able to come up with something, and then it surprises me when it just comes about, you know?
It's always surprising for a job, yeah. You know?
So, yes.
that's a good
point. Yeah, for sure.
Like, if you're surprising yourself, it means that, like, the story is going places you come.
Yeah, well, and not just, like, with the whole, you know, I want to call it a gimmick. Because it is. It's a gimmick in storytelling. But, like, the actual story itself, there was one installment that we did that I had started off with an idea of how to plot it out, and then I went through like 5 different rewrites, and all of a sudden it went from this kind of like bridge episode to like the most important episode that we've done so far.
Oh, wow.
And it was great because I didn't expect it to be that, you know? And that's why I'm really in love with this story, and I'm in love with all the characters of the story, but Lainey specifically, like, I just can't get enough of writing her, because she, every time that, you know, the right thing to do comes about, she flips it off and does the exact opposite, you know? So it's fun to have that character that can, you know, bust convention and just kind of do their own thing and not worry about compromise or conflict or, you know, any of that. Just straight up it, you know?
Yeah, and like, I can definitely see, like, just from that first episode, it's very apparent that the character, she doesn't necessarily care what other people want.
Yeah.
I guess is the
right way to put it. Well, and like, she, you know, she has introspective moments where she will go and, you know, think through her actions and not be too happy with it. And, you know, I don't want her to be like that all the time, because that would just be a different type of character than what I'm trying to present. But for the most part, yeah, I absolutely want her to be self-obsessed and self-important and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And at least she's not so bad that she doesn't also give, like, the one-night stand some eggs and toast.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah, actually, I think that can probably be said. Not the being selfish aspect of her character, but I think that all of our characters have multiple sides to them. Like Jerry, the one night stand, he's coming back in the story here, and he's got a lot of like interesting depths to him, and like side characters that I don't think I plan for, at least, like, will come back and have a much bigger part in the story. So like all of our characters are like interestingly human enough so that like your first your first idea of them, like, oh, Lainey's an asshole and she doesn't care about anybody. And then a couple chapters later, she's sitting on the fire escape with, you know, her neighbor, and she's got this really introspective moment. And then a couple chapters later, she's drunk off her ass again. And so, like, yeah. everybody like turns like a person, and it's a fun story like that.
And I can see that playing into, like, the sitcom reference that you guys mentioned early on, where, you know, especially with those side characters, you know, some shows introduce those side characters where they're just one-off and you never see them again. And then you have other shows where there's a side character that, for whatever reason, people love and just work to the flow of the show and become a main character. Like, I mean, Urkel, or I don't know if you guys watched Parks and Rec, but Andy on Parks and Rec was like...
Yeah.
Super minor character became like one of the best characters on the show.
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm keeping an eye out for that, because there are certain characters that I hope will, you know, work well, but I'm keeping myself open and listening for, you know, that inner voice to tell me that I'm having a lot of good scenes with this type of character. Maybe we should look into them more a little bit and see what happens. So I balance between structure and chaos all the time.
So it sounds like you don't have a huge plan, I guess, maybe.
I do. I have a series outline that has everything broken down. But
you'll throw it away, maybe.
Yeah. If things come along that, you know, present better, then I'm not against going in a different direction. It just has to make sense.
So do you have an endpoint in mind already, or is this kind of just an ongoing until you get
there? For the first season, we have a select number of episodes, and then if we want to continue on, or if Webtoon gives us the opportunity to continue on, we've got the seeds of season two, like, ready and willing.
Yes, yeah, so we've got the idea of what we want season one to be already set up.
Yeah.
So how long will season one be, if you can say, at least?
I can't say right now, but it'll be over 30 episodes.
Okay. I mean, that's a run or episodes for something to have. So.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you mentioned, like, if Webtoon will have you. Is that kind of how that works? Like, you kind of pitch the thing to Webtoon, and if they like it, they publish it for you?
So, yeah. Essentially, it's the same thing as any other publisher. You have to get them interested in an idea, and then, you know, they take it to their people, and they give you either approval or, you know, a kindly worded rejection notice.
And do they just... So, I mean, like... I know just from talking to other people, like, in the industry, like, you might get, you know, picked up for a series, like a print series, and maybe, like, initially it's going to be 12 issues, doesn't sell well, so it becomes 6 issues. Was this given to you as, like, a lump sum of, like, okay, yeah, like, you guys can do X amount of episodes, or did you just say, like, here's our plan, here's about where we think it's going to reach, and they just let you kind of do your thing?
Yeah, we were contracted for at least, and at, you know, at most, X number of episodes. So we're definitely going to be able to tell our story for the first season, and then we get to see if readership has kept up with us and gives us the numbers to go on and do more. This, you know, mainly because I'm very interested in playing with these characters for a while.
Yeah, I think season two could be really fun.
Yeah, but you know, it's. It's just one of those things where we have to look at the reality of whether or not we're getting enough people in the door, you know?
Yeah, which I mean, and it's like that.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that I love, though, is that they've committed to let us, you know, at least tell the bulk story of what our first initial idea was going for.
Yeah, which is awesome, because you don't have to have that fear of, like, are we going to be able to get this out? Do we have to cram a bunch of stuff into, like... a short amount of time just to get the story, just to have like an ending to the story. Right. Now, will this ever be in a print form?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
So, I didn't know. Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a Webtoon thing or.
Yeah, I mean, as of right.
Challenge.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's a fun little challenge. So, to begin with, starting drawing that first episode, I was drawing. Our panels in like print page format, right? So that if we wanted to go to print, we definitely could. But about four pages in, I realized that that was like 300% more work than I needed to do to get a webtoon comic going. So as it stands right now, what webtoon does for us is that like the infinite vertical scroll mechanic makes for some really great storytelling things. But that means that if we go back and we get all of that onto a print page, that's going to be really difficult and really kind of tricksy to figure out. I don't think that it would be impossible. And definitely, like when print rights come back our way, we might look into formatting it for a print book. But that might be a ways down the line.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, now that you say that, I have the first episode open, and I was just kind of like scrolling through it. I'm like, oh wow, there aren't breaks. Right. It just kind of all flow. It almost looks like it could be one big image that like you just drew as in like one really long Photoshop document, yeah, and then posted to the internet.
And that's the thing, when we started talking about this, like we did have, like Dave was saying, we had the idea to bounce between a print set of mind and a vertical scroll set of mind. And then I started thinking about the audience. The audience is coming to Webtoon for Webtoon comics. So yeah, we need to play as much as we can to that audience. And so we have to like wholly abandon the idea of any other format and just go for the gold with vertical scroll. And because we do that, and because we've committed to that, we're able to do things like the heart bouncing down the stairs, or, you know, the smoke trail that leads down into the camp scene. Like, we're able to do things that make use of the vertical scroll. So if you like think about different ways, it gets me excited to write for that type of format, because with print, you just have page reveal, you know, like that's about as good as it gets for, you know, like shocking your reader is the page reveal.
And hopefully they don't put an ad between things and screw up.
Yeah. I mean, you could go for like a double page spread, or, you know, an irregular panel layout, or, you know, things like that. Like there are ways that you can mess with the format, but when it comes down to expectation and, you know, like, again, just kind of springing something on your reader, there's just nothing better than vertical, because each time you scroll, it's like a new hidden image for you to encounter, you know?
It's very, it feels more natural.
Yeah.
I'm literally just scrolling up and down the page right now. And I have a Mac, so I'm literally just flicking up and down the page. And it's very, and like just watching kind of like everything slide up and down, it's like, oh, everything just looks like flowing together in a way that, like now that I think about it, like a print book really wouldn't. Even if you're reading it, you have that hard break on the edges. Right. You're constantly going from like one image to the next. You're not seeing just this nice flowing work.
Right. And that's not to say, like, I'm not working hard on print comics right now, because I absolutely am. Dave and I were just in the newly released All We Ever Wanted anthology.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
We were on different stories, but we share credits.
We made up two whole stories.
But, you know, it's, I think more to the point, it's fresh. You know, and it's something that I hadn't done before. So I'm having a lot of fun discovering what the limitations of it are right now as far as vertical scroll.
Is this the first Webtoon series for both of you?
Series, yes. I did a short story with Morgan Beam, and Dave actually provided the letters for that short story in their anthology, the Have You Any Fear anthology. So I got to play around with the format with that first. And it turned out really well. And now this is our first series.
Okay. And then, other than doing the letters, have you and Dave collaborated on other stuff, like print stuff, before?
Yeah, we've done a few. Like, we've done a short story that I love. I'm still super excited about that Western short story. we've done a few pitches, but for the most part, this is the big. We've known each other for years and years, so.
We've run in the same circles.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get to work with this guy.
It's always cool, and like when you know people that like you want to work with, and you finally find that like opportunity to work on something kind of long form together.
Yeah, that's a lot of what comics is. You know, it's practically professional friendship making, but like, James and I met at like Baltimore years ago, and we've always kind of rolled around in the same spaces. And yeah, Metaphorical Hurt came along, and he was like, "Hey, do you want to do a thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to do a thing." And then now we're doing a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the best part about conventions. Like, you never know who you're going to meet, and potentially like have a book together.
Yeah. The way that most of conventions work is you get to see a lot of old and friendly and familiar faces. And then every once in a while, someone will scream at you from across the hallway at New York City Comic Con, "Hey, do you want to do a book?" And then you shrug your shoulders and say yes, like half thinking that they're joking, and then follow up a couple weeks later with like, "No, seriously, are we doing this or not?"
I mean, that at least that's one of the better things people will scream at you at New York Comic Con, because there are so many people there. I can imagine there's some other things being screamed.
It's good.
Yeah, that's a good day for sure.
So, speaking of New York, little off topic. How was your New York?
I had a blast at New York, and a lot of that again was seeing a bunch of familiar and friendly faces, and getting together and doing the dinners and the karaoke's and all that. And then Webtoon actually had a presence there, and they had a nice little creator. Rooftop party in Manhattan that they boozed us up, and there was like a tattoo place that, you know, was doing tattoos there for free, and it was an experience.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like your average
no
time.
they pull out all the stops when they go to conventions. They just like are the show, you know. So
yeah, Webtoon knows how to show you a good time.
Yeah, Webtoon definitely knows how to party.
Dave, were you at New York this year?
I was, yeah. Actually, James and I were sharing a room. It was great. It was a wonderful experience. I think that previously I'd only really done New York a couple of years ago to pitch a couple of things, but this time I really got to walk around and shake hands and enjoy the city for once, which was a beautiful time. So,
did you have a table, or were you just there as like?
No, I was just walking around
trying to enjoy.
Yeah, I was just walking around. Which honestly, I enjoy some shows walking around better than tabling, especially something like New York, just because, you know, I don't have to show up when the convention opens.
Yeah,
that's and fair. I can go to Central Park in the morning if I want to and walk around.
On the flip side to that, if you have a table, you get in early and you have a place to go hide when you need to get away from the massive crowds of people in the hallway.
That's entirely true. Yes, there were not any chairs out on the aisles that you could sit down in.
Yeah, there aren't many places you can sit down, period. Nope. There.
Yeah.
Like usually like the benches and chairs and stuff like that are in like the hallways are generally like filled up the whole weekend.
Oh, for sure. I ended that weekend with, you know, with blisters on my feet just because it was an entire weekend of walking around. And that city's a walking city too. I was exhausted, but it was still a really, really good time.
I got super lucky because Gavin, who I'm doing who we were doing Dead Legends. We are still doing. We got some news with Dead Legends coming up, actually.
Ooh. I was going to say, you better still be doing it. Just because it Kickstarter didn't mean that book.
Yeah, no. I'll let you know as soon as I can if everything gets greenlit the way I'm thinking it's going to. Thank you. I was lucky that Gavin kind of like saved a seat for me. So every time I'd go by his table, I would be able to kind of crash and lurk around his table and not get all the blisters that I guess Dave got.
Yeah. I will tell you though. So I got a professional badge to the show, and I had heard rumors about like a pro badge lounge, and I could never find it until the very last day. I finally found the pro lounge, and they had like open chairs and tables and everything like that. And I could have been resting like the entire weekend, and I completely missed it.
Yeah.
That's like every once in a while, New York's been hit or miss the last few years, but once in a while they'll give me press badges.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And having the chance to like leave the crowd and like go hang out in like the press booth for like 15 minutes when you just need to like sit down and like breathe where there's not 100,000 people crowded around you. Especially if you've been on the actual like expo floor, like it's a nice experience.
Yeah, I was really mad that it took me all show to find that place.
that the first time I had a press badge to New York, it actually I felt weird going out to people being like, hey, where's the press lounge at? So I just kind of wandered around, and it was like Sunday where I finally found it's like this little hidden room upstairs to the left.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I prepare now for New York because the first or second time I went into that thing with some low top Converse on. Yeah, no, stupidest thing I ever did. I was in pain the entire weekend. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go get some good sturdy shoes. I actually got them from the walking store. I didn't know that existed, but it does.
Oh, yes.
Neither did I.
And
yeah, walking stores.
It was, yeah, I got some shoes. They are walking on clouds or angel wings. I don't know. But yeah, for getting ready for New York, getting ready for New York or Emerald City or any of those shows, you have to game plan for comfort.
Yeah.
And I am close enough to New York. I'm right outside of Philadelphia. Yeah. So I don't stay overnight in this. I just travel back and forth. It's a 2-hour drive, give or take, or I just take the train up and it's an hour and a half. And then it's a 10-minute walk from Penn Station. So I have that nice and easy, I know I can go up in my bed. Anything I want to have, I have to bring with me.
Right.
So if I'm taking the train up, it's an hour and a half. I need to bring something, a tablet, which means I'm then carrying that around
the entire
time I'm there. I have a couple people that James, you've met my wife, mm-hmm. Erica. She's actually the one who you talked to first at Keystone. Yeah. That lovely event.
had a lot of fun at that show.
it was a cool show to catch up with a few people that I know from conventions were there, but there just wasn't much to.
Yeah, I was really happy. Eric Palicki and Erica Schultz I'd sat next to, and we just basically had an entire weekend of goofing off and having fun. And I don't know, that kind of stuff. I love pulling away with that kind of stuff at cons because that's what it's really all about for a writer. That's more valuable, you know.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends Chris Capanna and Pat Chand, mm-hmm. Who normally if we see them at shows, I'll go over and if it's a slow show where there's just not a lot of people there, I'll just hang out and talk to them for an hour or two, while they're selling at their table, or in Chris's case, he's usually doing commissions. Right. And if my wife's there, she will stand there and she will sell their book. Every time somebody comes up, she's hey, you're looking at this book, buy it. And we'll give them the hard sell until they walk off with something.
But that's but that's the fun it shows. That's why I keep going back to them. It would be a lot more frugal, and I would have a lot more money to play around with if I didn't continuously go to shows. But there's just something about them where you get to meet new people, meet new readers, create new fans. I hate thinking like that, but I guess that's the way it's supposed to work.
That's what it is.
But also you get to, meet the people that are just kind of in it for the win too,
Yeah. And who knows what sort of what sort of friendships you're going to make, and then collaborators for future projects. Yeah. Maybe you meet an artist who then reaches out to you. It's hey, I've got this idea. Would you to write this book? Or Dave, in your case, the opposite, obviously.
Yeah. Or you meet somebody that has a podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true too. That's a lot of what happens. From my standpoint, I'm pretty much talentless when it comes to that stuff. So I just go talk to people, and hopefully I can get them to come on the show and chat for a while. I'm not making comics, but I like helping people. I like helping people get their comic books out there.
And that's important. I've gone through this kind of realization. It used to be that I would be super into meeting artists or writers or, people that are doing the creative side. And then as of the last couple of years, I was there are people that put labels on packages and ship those books to where they need to be. What's their story? Everybody that has their thumb on any pulse of this industry now, I am automatically drawn to and will talk their ear off for an hour, because
everyone has a different opinion. Not opinion was the wrong word. Everyone has a different story about like how like what they're interested in.
Yeah, what put them like in touch with the comic industry? What makes them want to further its, you know, its people that put out the works? Because I don't know, like some of the most interesting people I'm talking to right now are like marketing managers and, you know, PR people for labels and things like that. It's nuts that we have our own little ecosystem that works with itself to create all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Especially considering how big sort of like the mainstream comics have become in recent years with the movies and all, like the smaller stuff, like the indie comics, the creator owned stuff, like it's its own world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like talking with Webtoon. So Uni and Casey do the majority of Webtoon's like social media interactive with, you know, the readers and things like that. And they have their own videos and they have their own little comic that they do before cons and events that happen. It's like they have their own little audience and they have a job that's, you know, promoting what we do. But they've carved out this little audience for themselves doing what they do. It's nuts. I love it.
So, speaking of like promoting and stuff, if you guys are like when you do shows now, how do you promote a web-based comic?
So my last show was New York, so that we haven't had the opportunity to like sit behind the table and, you know, do that kind of thing. But the way that I'm envisioning it, Webtoon gave us a bunch of promo cards that I've, you know, had out on the table for a while. And if anybody wanted to like have something signed, I could sign that, or, you know, Dave and I could sign those. But they also give us the opportunity to like merchandise things or make things, you know?
Oh,
yeah, cool. So if we want, we can go off and make our merch for the series and kind of put things out in that sense. So it would be a hassle to carry around a bunch of stuff for sure, but if it sells, it sells, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, my bad. We've got plans for, like, some offshoot short stories and some shirts and some other merchandise, too. So, like, we've already got plans to kind of spread our brand.
Yeah.
So, now, when you say you got, like, the promo cards, does that have, like, the URL or, like, a QR code on it where people could easily just, like, find it? Or would it still be, like, okay, go to Webtoon, search the title, find it that way?
Let me see.
Oh.
We've only given out, like, hundreds of these. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know what, though? But, like, when do you look at your own cards for that sort of
thing? Yeah, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm not seeing a QR. I'm not seeing a QR code on it, but that's not to say that, you know, we couldn't request that and have it for the next show.
Yeah, QR code.
Put a QR code on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only say that the cards that we have for One Quest that we hand out at I only know this because I helped design it. The back side of them has a QR code that goes right to the home.
Nice.
Nice.
And, like, I don't know how often they use, but as soon as people that, they're like, oh, okay, like, see much more. Oh, I don't have to
find this. Right. Like, I don't have to download an entirely new app and then find this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I can just take a picture, especially if, like, I don't know if iPhones do it. I know Android now, the camera will just scan the QR code without even having, like, a separate app.
Oh, that's super handy.
Yeah, it's like Google Lens. It's just like a feature on the cameras now. You just kind of open the camera up, hold like your barcode or your QR code in front of it, and it just works.
Yeah. Nice.
Which I assume iPhones are... They're probably doing like 2 years.
Yeah,
that seems to be the cycle.
They'll probably catch up.
Android does it 2 years later. yes. So I know you guys don't have a ton of time left. What like sort of last thoughts would you like to throw out there about Metaphorical Her?
Shut it.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, it's I don't know. I don't know, man. It's like I'm just really happy that we get to tell this really weird, fun, quirky, awesome storyline that I never in a million years would have thought that I would have been given free range to kind of tell this type of story. And the fact that, you know, we're getting full support from Webtoon. Everybody on the creative team is down to like throw in their all on it. It's a dream come true, man. For real.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel super lucky to be able to to tell a story like this, because usually a lot of storytelling nowadays is you need to figure out, you know, your hook and get to the action so that people don't lose interest. And this kind of more episodic format really gives us the opportunity to build like a depth of character and to get really emotional with what we're telling. And I just I really hope that the people who are reading right now really enjoy what we're doing, because I know that there are a ton of storylines that are going to come out and just be like delicious in how they turn. So I'm pretty much just excited for everybody reading to continue to read and to enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's nuts because I have this weird personality flaw where I am not able to ask for a lot of help from people. So it's been especially nice to see just random people on the internet like share the link to the episode or talk about it online. And I've never had that unsolicited help before. I've always kind of had to go out and send out an email or, you know, talk to people and go to cons and all that, for something to just pop up on Twitter now. And, you know, even on the app itself, I was talking about this to somebody the other day, there's the episode, and then there's the likes and the comments, right? So you can see instantaneously, I go to sleep on Saturday, or I mean Friday night, wake up on Saturday, and already there's thousands of likes and usually close to 100 comments on an episode. Yeah. So instead of putting out an issue and waiting around for, you know, reader reaction and all that kind of stuff, it's literally in real time, as people read it, they get done and they comment or that's unprecedented. Yeah. For me, you know.
And yeah, and with a physical print comic, who knows if you're even going to get feedback until somebody happens to see you at a show.
Yeah. The reader interaction alone for this thing has made me the happiest person in the world. because I don't know, you obviously you want people to read and respond to your stuff, and every time a repeat customer comes up at a con, it fills me with this happiness for sure. But to get that every week,
yeah, definitely.
It kind of goes to your head, you know.
Yeah.
Now, has any of that feedback had any impact on where you've taken the story?
Well, we have a buffer. So right now, Dave is working on I think episode 17.
So
you have quite a buffer.
Yeah. So by the time readers read an episode, we're already kind of got a few in the bag, and the story is progressing beyond what they're able to comment on. You know.
So if anybody's cool. Yeah, it gives you a nice kind of a little bit of armor, because if anybody's like, this is terrible, it's kind of like, well, we got bad news for you, bud. Keep going.
Plus, you're just not finding yourselves sort of influenced by something else that, maybe somebody makes a comment of, oh, yeah, in issue 2, I didn't like the way, this thing was drawn, or the way, something was worded, but, that particular, scenario never happens again.
Right, yeah, for us,
but
that was
had you read that, had you read that and you were only two episodes ahead, you may have then actively going out of your way to try to avoid doing that. It could negatively impact the story at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yep.
That's I guess, you know, I'm paying attention to what the reader, reactions are to certain things. But I don't think that it'll dictate necessarily where I want the story to take shape, you know.
Which is good. It's your story. So right. It's going to be the best it can be when you're telling the story you want to tell and not being told what story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be definitely different if we were okay, we just put the new episode up and we got to do the next one in a couple of days. That's just not feasible, because, we would be going on hiatus for every other story basically. and B, yeah, we would have to pay more attention, I think, and have less freedom to tell the story that we wanted to tell, or have more worry about it. I still think I would tell the story I wanted to tell. I'm not that easily swayed.
Which, that's a good thing. Now, are these taking about as long as like a print comic would to do start to finish?
Yeah.
We're doing them a little bit faster. We're trying to, at least. So we want to try to get an episode done every week or so. And yeah. So right now episodes are about, we're averaging about 40 panels per episode. Which means, you know, if you average about 5 panels a page, you know, you're looking at 7 or 8 pages a week, kind of, which is a little bit more than what you would normally do on a print comic. And of course episodes fluctuate, like they go from like 30 to 50 panels. So some weeks are harder than others. And so
there have been quite a few times where I'm like apologizing as I turn in a script because it either has like way too many panels or there was one I just turned in that has a scene in a music store and you've got a guitar near you. I see. You've been in a guitar shop before, and what are in guitar shops? A fuck ton of guitars.
Just racks of guitars, James. I got to draw racks of guitars.
I'm not doing it to be mean. I swear to God.
I know. It's a beautiful scene, and also.
So, have you just been like giving up on sleep to catch up on that one?
No, not really. I have my tips and tricks. I really like 3D modeling, so I use a lot of that in my page layouts before I ink. So I.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I, at this point in episode 17, like I've got my webtoon shortcuts, you know. I'm still not averaging entirely, an episode a week, so I still kind of need to pick it up. But I think we're managing. We've still got a pretty heavy profit.
Dude, that is still a pretty good rate to be drawing, and it's not like you're drawing you're not drawing a character with nothing else going on.
Right. Yeah.
So like that's something. Getting an episode a week is something to be proud of.
No, I appreciate it. We're trying real hard.
So just to sort of wrap up, you guys are releasing them every Saturday?
Yeah, technically they come out Friday at midnight. Like, but yeah, so okay. You wake up Saturday, there's a new episode. Yay!
Yeah. I guess midnight Eastern time?
Yeah.
Now, how's the best way to find it? On?
Type in Webtoon, Metaphorical Her. That might do something. in any
yeah,
case,
if you go to webtoon.com and then search for Metaphorical Her.
Yeah. To be fair, I just used Bing because I like the place to get free Hulu. Okay. But if you go to Bing and you type in Webtoon Metaphorical Her, it is the very first link.
Hey, perfect. There's our pitch. There you go.
It's actually the first couple. So it's the first three are right to episodes, and then the third one is Newsarama doing
very
a
cool.
Nice. I like our analytics. Yeah. That's great. Thanks, Google.
Yeah. Hey, that's Bing, which means Google's probably better because Bing's kind of sucks.
Oh, thanks, Bing.
Yeah, like I'm sure Google's actually analytics are a lot better than this.
You can also get the Webtoon app. Which Webtoon is actually like formatted for that infinite vertical scroll is made specifically for your phone, and it's a lot nicer than like Comixology guided view or anything like that. You know, you don't go like panel.
Oh, thank God, because that's
bad. Oh, absolutely, yeah, no, it's made so that you can just hold your phone in one hand and scroll down a comic and read it. So if you get the Webtoon app from wherever you get apps from, and then search for Metaphorical Her on there, that's your ticket.
Okay.
Be
cool.
Warned, because I started off with 3 series that I subscribed to on that thing, and then I think I'm up to like 32 now.
Oh yeah, so, we're going back to like the Gateway comic. Like, if you get Webtoon, you will never not have Webtoon on your phone.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself having to struggle between whether you want to write your story or just read other stories?
I have set times that I set aside to read new stuff and.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Like, and
that's probably a smart thing to do.
I mean, when you're doing anything on a schedule, like, you have to set aside time for things, you know? Or at least I do. Like, otherwise, everything's chaos and insanity and nothing gets done.
Yeah.
I live in a little bit of chaos and insanity.
I do. I'm fine with it until deadlines come up, and then I'm like, oh my God. Why did I play that video game? No.
That's fair. I don't work on a lot of deadlines, so I don't quite have that. I just kind of like, you know, go by the seat of my pants for everything else.
Life is a deadline. Okay.
I mean, look, you know what? You're not wrong.
Oh God, that was a joke.
I guess before we wrap up, where can people find you guys on the internet?
Okay, I am.
If you want people to find,
yeah, me. Yeah, I am on Twitter and Instagram and pretty much everything at James C. Maddox. And then jamesmaddox.net is technically my website, and I think I have a post that is from this year on there. So, you know, cool. Goals, right?
Hey, as long as once a year, you can still call it your website and that it is active.
Yeah. So, but yeah, mostly I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Those are where I lurk.
Yeah, and then I'm on Dave? I'm on social media pretty much everywhere as Stoll Comics. That's STOLL Comics. And that's Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, everything. And then stollcomics.com is my gallery site.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone should definitely go check out Metaphorical Her on Webtoon. We gave you all sorts of ways to find it. And they're not lying. Like, having seen it on the webpage, like, it is formatted perfect for a cell phone or tablet. It's true.
Yep.
But yeah, so thank you guys again for coming on.
Hey, thanks for chatting.
Yeah, please, if you have stuff you'd like to promote in the future, shoot me an email. Like, I'm happy to blast things out on social media, talk about them on shows. You guys are always welcome back on if you want to come on and talk about something else in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, if you want to find out any more of the OneQuest stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Facebook is facebook.com/onequestonline. Twitter and Instagram are @one_quest. And you can find all of our podcasts, like the one you're listening to right now, on your favorite platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, or just search it on whatever app you use. That's the easiest way to find it. But yeah, that's the show. Thank you guys again for being here. Thank you at home for listening. And we'll be back again next-ish with our regularly scheduled episode.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, bye, everybody.